I don't know why, but there are certain Sundays that are just special, and this is one. I sensed it from the moment I walked in the building. Now, I'm not a warm and fuzzy hocus-pocus person. I'm just not, you know. Somebody says they have a word for me, so quite often I'll say, I wonder why I didn't hear it first. I'm not making light of the encouraging word of the gift of prophecy. I'm not, because it's powerful. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not. My personality isn't like some of you all's, that it just comes natural for you to sense and feel. Many of you have a gifting of God, the Spirit of the living God in you, where you sense and feel. You know when somebody's having a bad day before they even say hi to you. I don't have that. You know, and so for me to say, when I walk into the sanctuary of God, for me to tell you that I know, that I know, that I know that God has something special for us today, it's real. Because it's not that common. And I do think it's possibly because there's some people here in the family of God who are going to make a stand for Christ today. They've already made their commitment to him. But they're going to come, and you can't see the baptistry. I think we did that on purpose. We covered up the baptistry because of our Quaker heritage. I think, you know, and when it's not a day for baptism, you can't even see the thing. I don't know if that's because of our history as Quakers or not, but Brad gave me a text, Elder Brad, this week, and he said, make sure the baptistry's warm or it could have a double feeling for those getting something like that. He said it could be a very maybe not so comforting experience for them. See, there was a time when we didn't have a baptistry, and we went down to the Nazarene Church in Cardington, and they were so kind to us. And there was a Sunday that we went down to the Nazarene Church, and their heater wasn't working. But they didn't tell us that their heater wasn't working. So us pastors got in that water. And I tell you what, if you weren't saved before, you were saved right then. Now you might be getting the feeling this morning that I am going to speak to this idea of baptism, and I am. So we're taking a little bit of a diversion out of Galatians. However, Galatians speaks to it as well, which we'll highlight a verse here in a minute. But here's what I want you to hear right out, right from the get-go. There's nothing about the water. Well, there's something in the water. There was a fly, a spider. Are you guys getting baptized? Are you getting excited? And a lot of red lint from the carpet. I want you to know that I chlorinated it. I put some neat smelly stuff in it. And I removed the fly and the spider and the lint. And Jay and I cleaned it 3 times, once with a broom, once with a rag, and once with the water itself. So it's pure Delaware County water with a little bit of additives to make it perfect. But hear me out. There's nothing about the water. Except there are some powerful meaning and symbolism in being buried with Christ, being raised with him, and living new life in him. And these dear people, which you will witness today, unless you have to go eat, and I would suggest you really don't have to go eat. I would like you to stay and be witnesses. We're going to conclude earlier because that's our practice, in case you do feel compelled to leave, that's fine. Absolutely fine. I don't understand it, but that's fine. Because what you're doing by being a witness to this incredible symbolism, hear me out, symbolism of the inward commitment of the power of the living Christ within you. It is no longer you that live, but it is Christ in me. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember that? George, you're here. I didn't even see you yet. George is living in a good place, but I like him right there. I no longer live, right, George? And George, when I first started preaching, he said, don't forget the blood. You know, there's a popular country song right now. How many of you know it? How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now? Look at all you country fans in Morrow County. Must have been something in the water. Is that what it's called? You know, it's very bad theology. Unless you listen to the words. I am not preaching a gospel of country music. Do not get me wrong. Most of it's yuck, garbage. But I heard, what's her name? Carrie. I heard Carrie's song and I thought, this woman really put her faith on the line here. I was surprised. I didn't think she would be willing to do it at this point in her career. How about you? And she spoke to being baptized. And it's just a song. It's just words. There's no scripture in it. There's no good theology in it. Except she moves from the day that she was convicted by the Spirit of God to be baptized, the pastor's words, which were the word of God. She moves in that first verse saying, I didn't feel much about it, to then having an experience with the living God, and that a step of faith turned into a genuine faith and changed her life. That's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit means, being covered in the blood. So George, when I first started preaching, said, don't forget the blood. Washed in the water and washed in the blood. There's some powerful old hymns that say that. And this morning, I want us to understand what baptism is and isn't. How many of you can remember the Great Commission? If I were to ask you, there's really need of Dan today to help us recite, not having any fear. It might be good for us to recite the Great Commission. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Is there anyone who can recite the Great Commission from memory? This is more like a Sunday school class at the moment, isn't it? This is not like me. Was there somebody here that can recite the Great Commission? What's the word? In that Great Commission, what's the verb? Do you recall what the Greek tense of that verb really is? It obviously, in our languages, it's translated, it's go. Do you remember that I did a message on that? And the actual tense of that Greek word is having gone, therefore. It's an expectation. The word is go. The word is having gone. In other words, if you have a life in Christ, if you've been baptized by the blood of Christ, and you identify with the family of God, the expectation from the Lord Jesus himself is you're going. You're going into the world. You have already gone. So what's your week like? What's your week like when you run into people who have this desperate need? We worshiped this morning with songs that had absolute desperation of people longing for God. And you know the people that you live with all week long are desperately seeking and searching for a need. It's a huge hole in their life. You know what'll fill it. They're seeking it. Have you gone? Have you gone? Has the expectation that Jesus Christ, your Lord, already has for you, that you are in the world, that you are in it, that you are discipling, the verb tense, you have gone. We translate it to go. Having gone, therefore, make disciples. How are we doing it? We're going to baptize, we're going to teach. We're going to disciple, we're going to baptize. Why? You know, I want us to be certain that our heritage as friends is rich and it's good, because we made sure in our heritage that we did not trivialize the internal commitment of our saving faith, our trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We would not trivialize communion. We would not make it a trite and unmeaningful ordinance, baptism or communion. However, there may have been times in our history where we took it too far. It's an individual understanding in our hearts, on these ordinances. In other words, what I'm saying is when we take communion, our hearts better be clear. Our hearts better be clear because, you know, it's not something to be done in vain. It's why we don't do communion that often. We need to do it some more. Last time we did it after Sunday church, and it was incredibly powerful and meaningful. We're going to do that again soon here this season. And the reason I believe that it's so powerful and meaningful here in this body of believers is that we do take that ordinance serious. How's your heart this morning? Is it clear? Some of you, our church comes from so many backgrounds. I mean, you talk about a melting pot. Okay, so let me do a quick survey. How many of you have been in the Friends Church your entire life? My cousin's Jerry here, so we just doubled it. Why are you not preaching this morning, my brother? That's right. Seth was married yesterday. He was in Cleveland. By the way, there was 5 hands. So when I talk about our history of Friends and Quakers, most of you, what are you talking about? You know, and it's a rich heritage, and it's beautiful, and it's meaningful, and it's glorious as far as the intent of the forefathers that stood up in churches, sometimes in the very back, stood up in the middle of the sermons and said, "You're preaching heresy, Anglican pastor." And then we're beaten and thrown in jail, you know. It was effective. God called him to it. It was effective. And hence, here we are today. Bible believing, spirit filled, scripture teaching, word, nothing but the word, gospel, simple gospel, washed in the blood, body of Christ at Gilead Friends. Oh, how we need to thank God for those who've gone before us and stayed on that course, who stayed on that path, some of them with great, great persecution in their lives. Great persecution, especially in the old country. They were persecuted and killed, imprisoned, beaten for the true word of God. We celebrate that. And they would not stand for the politicization and the money laundering of the baptism and communion of the Lord's Supper and the sign of baptism. They wouldn't stand for it. So we removed it from our heritage for a while, from our practice. And then we've implemented it back in the right way. What is baptism? We've established there's nothing in the water. Some of you were... You know what? I love those old images of going down to the river and being baptized. There's something to be said for going down to the creek, going down to the river. I don't think we have one in Morrow County that's high enough anymore. there's somewhere in that Whetstone Creek. There's a place probably deep enough, but we really don't have it. Some of you were baptized in muddy water. Some of you were baptized in creeks and ponds and swimming pools. One time we did it at a swimming pool. That was great. That was a beautiful day. What is it? Why is it? Why do we, you know, it's important to me as pastor because if we just march people up here, go through the motions, that is not right. This is a powerful testimony to your saving faith in Jesus Christ. It is an ordinance of the Lord. We just went through the scripture. The Lord told us out of the greatest commission of all commissions. You know, he told us a lot. He taught us a lot. He told us how to love people, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another as yourself. He taught us this myriad of things. You look at the Sermon on the Mount, and it's teaching, teaching, teaching. But when it came to the commission, he said, I'm expecting you to have already gone. I'm expecting the church of Jesus Christ, once you've come to this saving faith, this understanding that you are covered in the blood, once you've made that commitment, I'm calling you to go into the world and teach it. Be my spokespersons. How many of you think of yourself as a spokesperson for the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Well, let me tell you something. Not very many of us were willing to raise our hands. Some of us were, and I realize I wasn't trying to get a show of hands. It's not university or grade school either. But whether you want to be an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not, you are one. Am I making that clear? Whether you want to be, desire to be, or not, you is one. I'll say it in another language. You are a representative of your Lord and Savior. Don't you want to be the best you can be? You know, is that the Army or is that the Marines? Be the best you can be. You know, how much more so in the Army of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Captain of the Army, do we want to be the best we can be? So we've already, as believers, as witnesses to those being baptized today, we have already gone, therefore, into this world. We are baptizing them in the name. And that's the next thing. See, baptism expresses your oneness with your Lord. That should just, you know, there's nothing in the water. But your testimony, whether it be your testimony every single day of your life, which is where it's really at, or whether it's on a day like today when there are a number of our family that says, I want my church to know that I'm taking a step to be identified. Oh, I've known the Lord Jesus, some of them for years, some of them for months, and yet today they're saying, I want my family to know that is for me, and some of them have households, for me, we will serve the Lord. See, every single day, you are expressing your oneness, your union with your Lord Jesus Christ. What's it look like? So the idea of water baptism expresses that as an initial step. Well, as an initial witnessing step. For some of us, it came much later in our walk. That's fine. That's great. But there was a calling on every one of these individuals. It's interesting how unique the voice of God came to them and said, I want to be baptized. Some of them, it was like, I don't know why it has to be here. And I don't know exactly why God's calling me to be baptized on this day, but he is. I must declare my allegiance to the only living true God. And I want to, and I'm willing to have my family stand with me and observe it. Expresses a union with Christ in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Would you not want to be identified with your Lord and Savior? If he's your God, if he's your absolute counselor and guide and friend, day by day by day, would you not want to be identified? To be identified with that family, with that God, with that Father. And so we are identified. And in the wider context of Romans, we know that we know that we know it's not the water. Solo gratia? What is that? Some of you have been with me for a few weeks. Solo fide, solus Christus,
Romans, 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 John 3:16, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23. You know, we can just go. We know. Ephesians 2:8 to 9. What's Ephesians 2:8 to 9? I know I'm doing Sunday school class today. I'm sorry. This is what the Lord pressed me to do today.
Ephesians 2:8 to 9. What is it? You are saved by faith. Just throw out the main pieces of it. Not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans, John, Matthew, Luke, Mark, all of the scripture, this incredible love letter from the first verse in Genesis to the last in Revelation says, it's my gift by the blood of Christ. One story, one salvation, one gospel. One faith, one family, one truth, one baptism. And that baptism is by the power of the Holy Spirit that has drawn us to himself. There's nothing in the water. But when you want to be identified with this family, I want to be identified with you. I get baptized over and over every time I get in that water. And there's nothing in the water, but there's something in the blood. See, this idea of water baptism obviously was prophetic from the Old Testament, fulfilled by John the Baptist preparing the way. And the reason for the symbolism is, if you're going to receive the blessing and eternal life from your Lord and Savior, you must also identify with his crucifixion and his death. That's the part of the gospel that's not so fun. That's the part of the gospel where, as we used to say, as the rubber meets the road. This is the part of the gospel when Jesus says to all the apostles, you know, after his resurrection, are you ready to die for my sake? Because you will. Church? Do we? Well, we identify with the resurrection. Why do you think Easter is such a celebration? You know, Christmas, our Savior is born. Easter, he has been raised. Oh, okay, but there's this intense part of life on earth that's in between for us. Do we identify with his burial, with his death? Church, can we identify with the death of Jesus Christ? Are you willing? Are you willing, Gilead Friends Church, to die to yourself? Are you willing to lose your identity, to let go of your will, to eradicate the desires and selfishness of me, 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 I, and be identified with the death and burial of Jesus Christ? Because you know what? Unless we are willing to die to ourself and be buried to ourself, our selfishness, that innate sinful desire that happened with Adam and Eve because of that enemy, if we aren't willing to bury it. See, in our Sunday school class, we read this verse together and we studied it pretty deeply. In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He gave himself for me. How does your life look as you look backwards? We talked about journaling. Some of you write journals. Some of you write and you record your life. How does it look when you look back? Is it perfect? From the day you were saved. Maybe some of you were saved and baptized on the same day. That happens a lot in a lot of churches. So your background, you might have come to saving faith at the altar and were baptized that same day. As you record your history from that moment, what does it look like? Is it perfect? After you were saved, was everything just absolutely the way you expected it to be? See,
there's this constant wrestling we have with our own self. And when we, you know, and sometimes there are things that happen on this earth that are we had nothing to do with. And that's when we need each other. But so much of what we go through is because of this wrestling, this war against our own desires and our own flesh. And so in Galatians 2, it says, well, we got to be crucified with Christ. Can we identify? Can we identify with that? Because baptism expresses that identification and that union with Christ. You know, some of you are married. I just wanted to see if I'd get a response from that. I didn't. Some of you are married. It was very quiet. So you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are single, and God is, he's ministering to you in your singleness. You know, the church is not very good at ministering to singles. We work and we work and we work on that. I want you to know, God is ever present, whether you're single, married, or widowed. That's why this command of widows and orphans is so pressing upon us as a church. There's a lot of heartache in our world. But in a wedding ceremony, Levi just got married. Seth just gets married. Yesterday, Levi got married. And some of you saw pictures with Levi in suspenders and Converse tennis shoes. It's interesting. And in that ceremony, there's a place where you put this ring on a finger. And you say, with this ring, I thee wed. I've changed it a little bit over the years, and I've put in words like, with all that I am, and with all that I have, I honor you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I commit my life to you. Well, is the ring the commitment? No. It symbolizes the covenant. The covenant of vows, but it's not marriage any more than water baptism is saving faith. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that expresses our union with the Lord. We are united with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Baptism dynamically and dramatically portrays what happens spiritually when you receive Christ. See, your old self of rebellion and idolatry. See, we Americans don't like to use those words. None of you are rebellious or idolatrous, are you? See, anytime we elevate anything, especially ourselves, over our Lord, over our love and pursuit of our Lord, it's rebellion and idolatry. Those are such awful words. The trouble is they're accurate to a T. Anytime that your ultimate love, the ultimate pursuit, and never would we say that we would ever do that, but in our actions, we end up pursuing things above our God. And so we have to guard that. Well, baptism symbolizes that death of that desire, that idolatrous, sinful nature. And so then, there's a name. There's a name. It was interesting. We were discussing this with the younger people, and we got into history a little bit. And I think it was Braylon that has brought up that in the ancient days, in the early days of Christianity, they did not use your last name. When you were baptized, there's nothing about the water, by the way. Have I said that yet? When they were baptized in the old days, they didn't use your last name. So guess what? We are not using last names today. You know why? Because when you come to trust in faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a new identity. You should all be jumping up and shouting. Because some of you don't like your family.
Of course, I'm being silly. But there are times when we struggle with our identity. Let me make this, instead of trite, impactful. You know, there's a lot of people in our lives who basically wish they weren't who they are. You know people in your life that you're part of. Your constant ministry is ministering to them in their past. It's just real. We have people who are orphans. There's some beautiful stories of adoption even in this church. Oh my. Does that parallel the gospel? Being adopted? Oh my. There are some in this church who've gone through difficult things, and you'd rather just not be known as who you are. There are people in your lives who've gone through everything from death to divorce to whatever it may be, and you just as soon not have that last name. You know, it's usually not something we dwell on very much, but children go through some devastating things. We have a bus that ministers to children every single weekend, and our heart cries for their circumstances. What better name on a bus is the Sunshine Bus? Children go through, and you know, every one of us is a child. Every one of us is a child, and we go through some devastating things. Some of you went through divorces when you were really young. Some of you lost a parent. Some of you lost a spouse. Some of you are single. Some of you are widowed. Some of you had disease. Some of you had incredible, awful circumstances in your life. And you know what? You get to the point where I just don't want to be me. I wish I was someone else. To the point which, at times, some of these children, we're all children, some of these dear children, of which I am one and you are one, something happens in their family. And maybe at one point they had just this awesome family. Something devastating happens in the family. And then there's whispers and there's, and they don't want their name. You understand? They would rather have been not born. They would rather be in some other family. I hate my last name. For some of us, it's just a very short period of time in life. For some people, it's a devastating thing. Guess what, church? Guess what? When you stand and are baptized by faith in Christ in the blood, and then on a day like today, you take that other step, and you are baptized in the water, symbolizing the death and burial and the resurrection and new life with Christ, something happens because the word is very clear. We baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. You have a new name. And for some people, this is a powerful, powerful part. Because now you're identified into the family, or you are now identified as a member of the family of the living God. See, there is a holy appeal to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be present in this ordinance. And they make it true and real as a symbol of redemption. There is no salvation without the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When we call on their name, we depend on them and honor them and say that this act of baptism is because of them and by them and for them. Oh, church, there isn't anything we do that isn't, in the Church of Jesus Christ, there isn't any activity we do that's not intended for praise. So in the pursuit of being identified with the family of God through baptism today, it's all for His glory. It's all for His magnification. Every single act in our faith is for the pursuit of the glory of Jesus Christ. So, these amazing people, by the way, people who are getting baptized, go get ready. If one or two of you are already, you can just still sit where you are. Sound team, I want you, whoever can help me move things out of the way a bit, I want you to do that right now. And you guys, if you want to get kind of, some of them have to change a little bit real quickly. And we're going to symbolize this step of faith today. And so, to conclude our thoughts together this morning, I want to say it this way. Baptism is for believers only. Now there's a young man being baptized today as part of his household, but he's going to share. I'm not sure what he's going to share. He might preach a sermon, but he's going to also give his witness. See, each person being baptized today is going to say a word about their commitment to Christ. Just a quick word, just a real quick word. And so, in conclusion this morning, as we stand together, I want you to stand with me. I just want to remind you that if you come across anybody in your life who says they've been baptized, you know, you get to know them, maybe your relationship's fairly new, you've been with them a while, a few weeks or whatever, the idea of Christianity comes up, they are pursuing you because of your relationship with them, and you ask them, how's your relationship with the Lord? And they say, I've been baptized. You need to pursue. You need to pursue. Baptism by the water is only a symbol of the inward commitment of your trust by faith in Christ alone. So this morning, church, we're going to have a prayer and a readiness to absolutely celebrate this moment in these people's lives. And so as we do that, as we pray together and prepare our hearts for that witness, if there are some of you who need to leave, that's okay. I would just ask and pray that you would stay and be a witness. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is a happy day. This is a glorious day. This is a day when we symbolize how you washed our sins away. For as far as the east is from the west, you remove our sins from us. And now, Lord Jesus, we are absolutely overjoyed and thrilled that we can participate, that we can participate with these loving people in this step, in this act of making a stand and a witness before their family here at Gilead. We give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who are staying, you can even move forward. If some of you family are here, you can come up. If you've got cameras nowadays, we've got about 30,000 cameras in the room. You're all willing to come up as close as you want, and we'll do this together. You know, I almost forgot to remove my phone and my wallet. And so, people, where are our people? Come on up, wherever you're at. Maybe they all decided not to get baptized. I'm teasing. Watch. Just
just caught my watch. Come on up. There is, as they're preparing themselves, this family here. Do you remember in Philippians where the jailer's household, that he was saved, he and his household? So this is kind of a special moment right here. Jaden and the parents here. He's going to say a word also, but I want you to know that this is a bit of a dedication for him. He'll probably not remember, you know, all this, so his parents are going to reinforce that. There may be a time later he wants to take an individual step of baptism, but this represents the scripture in Philippians where he and his household were saved. I also want you to know that every one of these people is on a journey of their own, and they need you. They desperately need you. All of them in the last few weeks were in tears in one form or another. Church, may you be witnesses to this powerful day.
This is Kim Baldridge. I want to be baptized as my testimony, as my trust in my Lord and Savior. I'm getting baptized this morning as a recommitment that me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My name's Laura. And you want to be baptized?
And I want to be baptized.
I'm being baptized today to show my commitment to serving the Lord.
This is Ashley.
be baptized is just to show my love for Christ.
This is David Adkins.
Hi, my name is William. I'm coming forward, all of you folks today, for my baptism and my faith in God. A little thing. This looks much better than when I was 5. Years ago, they went to the creek, broke the ice, and this is a lot better. Thank you, guys.
I'm Colin. I found the Lord, I'd say, about a couple of years ago. Something tragic happened in my life, and my father passed. And it was hard, but it was a blessing also because he's not suffering no more, and it led me closer to the Lord, and I just thankful for that.
Say your name? Okay, I'm going to say it with you. Okay, he wants to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. That's what he wanted to say.
Okay. Brandon.
Braden.
You go down?
Yeah.
Daddy's going to go down.
Right there.
Okay. He's going to go down with you.
Kind of cool. Dad's going to be here baptizing with you. Helping you. Understand. Braden David, this is a great moment. This is cool. You and Daddy and Mommy, your household, witnessing to the world that you are Jesus. He's God. So it's the name of the Father, and your Savior Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that we baptize you. And you have been raised with him.
I just wanted to say that I wanted to give myself to God and live my life through Christ.
Brittany Nicole, you and your household have been baptized and being baptized today. And your spirit, there's a preciousness about your spirit. And I know that you're going to be a witness to many. So it's this new name of your Lord and Savior, the Father.
I thought maybe Patty would get baptized. There's a lot of work to do with you and me, isn't there? Church, stand. And I want you to give God the glory to the best of your ability. In this moment, let's give our Father a round of our thanks with our hands. Well, can we do that? Just praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Go in His peace.